There we go. We got the kindness song before the consecrated conversation, the morning chat between the friends on the radio. That is Revolutionary Josh Wilson. We work it in one way or another. Got to keep them guessing, Jason. Got to keep them not knowing what's coming next, you know?
Keep them on their toes at 5:45 in the morning.
Mm-hmm. 27 degrees, but tomorrow morning it's going to be even cold. Overnight lows tonight, talking about 17, actually.
Oh.
Yeah. So you had the window open last night, too?
I did, but I think I'm going to close it before I go to work today.
How does that work with the heat? Like, we set our temperature at 60. I mean, what do you set your overnight at?
Yeah, unfortunately, we have one of those programmable thermostats, but I have not programmed it. And what I need to do is have it programmed so that it drops at night. And but that, I'm sure, will lead to a family conflict. So, we'll see how that goes.
Okay.
But we keep it at 72, I think, most of the time.
But when everybody's, you know, when everybody's snug as a bug, as a rug, and under their blankies, I mean, you know.
Right.
Can't you turn it down? Yeah. All right.
And people actually sleep better when it's cold. So.
Yeah. Well, that's obviously you believe that because you like the window open and it's 27 degrees. So.
Yeah.
All right. Before we get to 2 Timothy 3 and I think, I don't know, whatever, verse 2 or 3. I don't know, just feeling overwhelmed or like COVID drags on way longer than we thought, and people are being told, you know, don't get together for Thanksgiving and, you know, limited to the households. And then you got an election that, you know, one side is completely saying is done. And that includes the news network that identifies with that side. And then the other news network says, no, it's not. And there's this lawsuit and that. And
yeah.
It's just, I don't know, the word of the day is overwhelmed. So any thoughts?
Yeah, I would say that I have been pondering that in myself and hearing that from others as well. I had posted a picture last night. There was a thing that going around that had said, post your first solo picture on Facebook and then the most recent. And so I posted one from 2009 and then one from 2020. And a friend of mine said, in 2009, you looked so much happier.
Huh.
And I said, you know, that's an interesting observation. And I think there's some reality to that. You know, since then, it's been a hard decade. And this year has been a really hard year.
Hmm.
And I think you're exactly right. Is it's I can't remember who I heard say this, but it's not pain that bothers us so much. It's unrelenting pain.
Hmm.
And it's, you know, pain with no obvious end in sight.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where that feelings of overwhelmed and just being ground down really builds up.
That's a great line. It's not pain that bothers us so much. It's unrelenting, the chronic pain. Yeah, for
right.
sure.
Yeah, we can endure pain for a moment.
Right.
But when it just keeps coming at us. It really can take an emotional toll.
And there you go. You've diagnosed it well, doctor, because, I mean, the idea, that's what I mean. I think we in the spring, remember back when we were like, oh, this will be done by April, as somebody said.
Yep.
And then it'll be done by May and June and July. And, oh, for sure, the summer's going to burn it off. And then it's, you know, we're into mid-November. And I understand there was good news, right? Pfizer with a vaccine, they say, is 90% effective. I think I heard now another company, maybe. So, I mean, it seems like, and yet, I mean,
right.
You know, don't blame me for being a little bit skeptical. Like, I believe it when
right.
I see it, you know?
Yeah.
A little bit
When you had mentioned the word overwhelmed, I was thinking of Psalm 55, where the psalmist says, listen to my prayer, O God, do not ignore my cry for help. Please listen and answer me, for I am overwhelmed by my troubles.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it kind of goes on and talks about fear and trembling overwhelm me, and I can't stop shaking. I would love to escape, to fly away like a dove, but here I am stuck in the middle of this, and I need you. And I think that is the longing of each of our hearts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it is. Well, that's good stuff, and I think we'll leave 2 Timothy for another day. But we also want to think in terms of kindness. Josh Wilson let us in. And so how do we show kindness when we're feeling unrelenting pain? Well, I got all these easy questions for you.
You know, I think some of that for me, you know, when I think about kindness, when I'm experiencing unrelenting pain, I have a tendency to treat myself poorly. I have a tendency to blame others for things that may not be their fault.
Yeah.
And so I think part of it is stopping for a moment, catching our breath, and you know, recognizing who is it that not only who God created me to be, but who I already am. You know, I am a person of love. I am a person of caring, and to stop and remember this is for a season.
Yeah.
We may not see the end of the season right now, but we believe as Christians that there is a greater hope in front of us. And so I think we need to kind of look up and see that again, that there is something better on the horizon.
Good stuff. Appreciate it. And we will get the podcast of this up. We bat lead off on the podcast. So if people want to, hey, check the WIB Wake Up Show podcast, it starts off with First Thoughts with Halvo and the Doc. So that's pretty good. All right.
Awesome.
All right.
Sounds good.
Steer your friends there. Thanks. Jason Kanz, WWIB. My wife said that the other day. She said on the radio, she said, you're a good pitcher, but you need somebody who can hit it. Jason's a good hitter, so it works out good. I mean, and you can't beat the fact that I love the line on Monday. We were talking about his movie, Tommy Boy, that he likes. And he's seen 85 to 90 times, Chris Farley comedy. And I'm like, hey, people have told me that I look like David Spade. He's like, people have told me I look like Chris Farley. So there you go.
I would say I've been quite blessed this year with cars that have run well. There's always little nicks and scratches, so to speak, with things that you have to take care of. But overall, no major car repairs, so I'm thankful for that. Maybe just by the skin of my teeth got away from another fairly significant expense as I was driving about in your beautiful city of Eau Claire.
Welcome.
And yeah, down on Hastings Way, South Hastings Way, about near the intersection of Claremont, and had a couple appointments. And then coming back to my home, I dropped off the car at home or stopped at home to get some lunch and spend some time with my family. Came back out, and the car felt a little weird as I was backing it down the driveway. I'm not really a car guy, but I thought, oh, that's a little odd. And then I heard kind of like as I'm going off the lip of my driveway, I thought, that's odd. Maybe I should pause for a moment here and get out and look. I did so, opened the door, and realized that my driver's side front tire was just like, it almost looked like the rubber of the tire was melting because it was down to the rim and just like oozing out there because it was so completely
really flat.
And I'm like, oh, that would explain the ka-chunk. I looked in back, and also my passenger side, or excuse me, my driver's side rear tire, both tires on the same side, was also extremely flat. So I eased back up the driveway and realized, what do I do now? This vehicle is completely undrivable. My wise wife said, you probably hit something. Pretty good.
I guess. Yeah, good
pretty
assessment.
Pretty good work there. And so, yeah, two completely flat tires. Thankfully, our owner, Terry Stewart, let me borrow an air compressor here from the station, and I was able to air both of those tires up enough. When you hear that from a tire, even after you air it up, it's like, something is really wrong here.
Yeah.
Was able to find what was wrong with both tires and take it to an auto shop. And praise the Lord, they said, hey, we actually can patch these. So
nice.
I got away for under $35 instead of hundreds of dollars for
new
tires.
Go.
So that's my story this week.
The first of two car stories. Mine came last night. It was not the car I drive, my 05 Accord. But my daughter, coming home from work, we expected her. She had messaged my wife that she, you know, I'm leaving now. And then we get a call. And for whatever reason, my wife wasn't able to receive the call. My phone rings. She's like, I need to talk to Mom. Turns out her car had died on a bridge on Madison Street.
Oh, dear.
And she's on the right side of the road. It's about 10:20 at night. And so, but here's the deal. Yeah, I'm not a car guy either. But when your daughter calls and she says, have Mom come, that's not, you're like, hello, I'm the dad. So
it anyhow, almost feels like your man card is just being forcibly pulled away. Give it, give it.
And then my wife actually, she did hurry and got dressed. And I'm like, You could have asked me to go, although maybe respecting early morning radio.
Sure.
But then I'm at home. I'm like, I don't like the way the story's playing out. You know, I don't want to have the story was, oh, yeah, and you stayed home. So, I mean, I make my way down there. And actually, someone we know from the police was there, too. And a tow was on the way. Had to be an alternator issue. At least that's what everybody's thinking. Just completely died out. So I stayed and waited for the tow truck to come as wife and daughter went home. So
one of the most helpless feelings as a man of my caliber,
yeah,
is when it might be, you know, a female coworker or something like that, or somebody in a parking lot, and maybe they're not real good with cars either, and so they just sort of assume you're a man, you know, could you help me out with this? And it's like, I'd love to help you, but that helpless feeling of you pop the hood up and it's like, I have no clue what right. I'm looking at.
You're like, and it doesn't work to say, I like books. I'm so
I was just like cleaning the battery terminals the other day. One more quick car story. I was cleaning the battery terminals the other day because Adams Automotive Center had said, uh-huh. hey, there's some corrosion here. You should clean those up. I have a terminal cleaner.
Coca-Cola?
And so as I was doing that, you have to use a wrench to get the things off so you can get access to the terminals. Wasn't really thinking that if I dropped the wrench, it would connect the positive and negative terminals and send sparks flying into my Woo. Face.
Yeah, wow.
My wife was like, maybe next time just pay somebody to do it.
No, I thought, don't they sometimes say use Coca-Cola to clean that? I thought I've
you
heard
probably
that.
Could, yeah. Probably could. I don't know, be paid amazing. $5 for a little cleaner thing.
There you go.
Now I know what I'm doing. Pavel, this day in history, I don't know if you covered this earlier today, but it was this day. 1 year ago, Disney Plus launched.
I saw that and I thought of you because you've had it for a while, right?
Yeah, so, yeah. I had it. When did I get
from
it?
From the well, beginning?
Yeah, around this time
pretty
last
close,
year, they
yeah.
had some sort of a special offer.
Wasn't it amazing? Like right away, it's like 12 million people had it or something?
Well, and I love those classic movies, those old school movies, like 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea and,
oh, yeah.
and Apple Dumpling Gang. And then Mandalorian is a great show.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
Star Wars lovers, it's a great show.
So I saw somebody post on Facebook like, and then so they said, Mandalorian isn't real life or something. I'm like, yeah, listen, real life? I think I need
you know
a
what?
Little
in 2020,
escape.
I need some Baby Yoda.
Exactly.
So.
Why is Caleb above average?
Idea.
Well, actually, when I saw this morning, I thought of you. Headline, average person loses the excitement of Christmas by age 23. And
oh.
I immediately thought of you at age 33, and I thought, you have an excitement for Christmas, so...
I love Christmas. I love Christmas music. I know some people are like, don't play that early. So I'll play it in the privacy of my car, of my home. I love Christmas. And I think what's changed a little bit is as a kid, it was, I can't wait to open those presents. And I would be the child who would just, like, I wanted to be the first one out, not to start ripping open the gifts, but I just loved, like, the quiet and the peace and the stillness of the completely lit up Christmas tree and seeing all the presents that had just magically appeared overnight because my parents stayed up till 2 or 3 in the morning. Because before, what we did is there'd be no presents under the tree, and then they would just appear on Christmas Eve, and then we'd see them all the next morning. So I always wanted to be the first one and not wake everyone up. I just wanted to experience that. That was my favorite morning of the year. And now, you know, it's shifted because I really couldn't care less if I get a gift for Christmas or not. Mm-hmm. It's just, I really don't care about that anymore. But man, do I love the buildup and the activities, and I love, as a father now of three, man, I love it. I love wrapping presents for my kids. I love seeing their faces when they open them. It's just, yeah. And again, some of the traditions that we had as well that my grandpa and my dad, and that now I can take on as a dad too, that before we open the gifts, we're going to read Luke chapter 2. And so just... that's been a great thing as well, because I know it's easy for me as well, as you just heard, to focus on the presents, but let's focus on the ultimate gift and not just a quick, well, let's get this out of the way before we can open presents, but just what is the meaning of this? Why do we celebrate Christmas the way that we do? And it's hopefully a reflection, a God-honoring reflection of the ultimate giver. So
and
I love Christmas.
Your kids are wonderful ages too. I mean, 3 kids, 9 and under, fantastic. And so, yeah, so many great things to enjoy about it. Anyhow, I thought of you right away. Average person loses the excitement of Christmas by age 23, but not that.
I hope it never goes away. So, yeah, one thing, maybe I'm above average or hey, just weird.
Or else you're from Lake Wobegon. Kate Winslet managed to hold her breath for an unbelievable amount of time for this latest movie, Caleb.
Yeah, so this was Avatar 2, and I think I saw the first Avatar. People made a huge deal about it, and I think I watched it at a friend's house and fell asleep, so I don't really know what happened. So I don't know if it's a good movie or a bad movie.
No,
but
I think it made a ton of money.
Yeah,
right?
It did. And so there's an Avatar 2 coming out, I guess. I didn't know. And
this
Kate
is like
Winslet.
All the painted people, right?
Yeah, is apparently in it. Yeah, they're all blue, and they like fly on things and shoot bows and arrows,
but
I think.
That's not Smurfs. Okay.
Yeah, anyway, Kate Winslet, the actress, held her breath while filming underwater for Avatar 2 for 7 minutes.
I mean, how is that?
7 minutes. And it turns out that that's apparently a record for an actor, Tom Cruise, in Mission Impossible Rogue Nation, which I did really enjoy, held his breath for 6 minutes. And I'm like, this is like Navy SEAL stuff. This is crazy.
Yeah, it is.
We used the
and
Google.
And obviously I'm playing the wrong music.
We used the Google.
Yeah.
And I was curious, how long can a Navy SEAL hold their breath? And feel free to correct me if Google's wrong on this, but they say, yeah, Navy SEAL can hold their breath 2 to 3 minutes.
Okay, so
they say the average person is between 30 seconds and 2 minutes.
We get a contest on the show, Kate Winslet versus Derek Van Orden, the retired Navy SEAL, who can hold their breath longer.
Well, and that's just crazy. I think maybe I could go 60 seconds, maybe. I remember that as a kid, sometimes like sure. In your little kiddie pool. It's like, oh, let me see how long I can hold my breath. And it wasn't very accurate because you just have a sibling counting for you.
Yeah.
But that seems like super dangerous. And also, I didn't realize there'd be that big a disparity.
I know it. Wow. The things you learned by listening to the WIB Wake Up Show.
Yeah, I mean, normally we're not like into like celebrity stuff on this show. But like, that's pretty impressive, if true.
Absolutely. Well, we're believing it. Well, they say confession is good for the soul, so here we go. Pandemic pounds. I mean, it's been a rough year. And the word for our first thought segment for the early risers at 5:45 with our buddy Dr. Jason Cans from jasoncans.com, the word I threw out was overwhelmed, because you've got, on the one hand, I mean, just the ongoing, never-ending COVID, and we're in a difficult stretch here again. We heard from the governor this week, and big numbers, not good. And so Menominee schools just going all virtual, the latest. And then everything with the presidential election and the bickering and the quarreling on Facebook and everywhere and social media. And people are leaving Facebook and saying, follow us to Parler or MeWe. And then there's the eating. That's where the confession comes in. Like, I don't know what it is exactly. I don't think I've been quite as active. I've gone to the gym some, masking up, but there was this pair of pants that used to fit that doesn't. And that, you know, just the honor when your clothes talk to you.
Do you ever have that where you're just in denial and you're like, well, they were just washed, so that's probably why they're
yes,
a little bit
that's
tighter.
What I thought. That's what I thought.
And, you know, like, I know the dryer. The dryer
the
just.
Waist, like, that would have been a big. Like, or I grew. And I think it's the growing, but then it's just like, I've frequently followed. I remember you did the No Sugar November last year.
Yeah, don't ask me how that's going. This I tried for a day, and then
you chose the no shave this year, so you got a different one going.
Yeah, gotta have something.
I don't know. So I'm at, but here's the thing. Like, I think I'm afraid to get on the scale. I used to weigh myself at the Y, and I go there, but I, like, they don't have an available scale. And I know my wife's got a scale, but I mean, I think I'm afraid to see the number.
Yeah, I mean, and that's. I know the same thing, because it, like, if you ask me how many pounds I have to lose, I have a general figure, but I really don't want to know the exact amount because I fear it may be higher than what I want. And like with the pants thing, sometimes too, if it's just like, well, I'm just going to wear a longer shirt so I can leave that button unbuttoned or whatever too. But I think about like the denial that we can be in about something, even like our health. How does that work like in our Christian life as well too? Because we talk about the mirror of the law of God and in his perfect law. And you, I think James talks about looking in the mirror and forgetting what you look like. And even that fear of like, I don't want to know how bad I am. And yet there's actually freedom when we see just how messed up we are, because that's when we truly realize how wonderful grace is and how wonderful the gift of God is. So we need that. We need to get on the scale spiritually. Yeah. We need to look in the mirror.
Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned James, because honesty, that's the thing. When I talk about your pants don't lie, I mean, then it's also like the scale doesn't lie, right? It just comes out and it says, this is what it is. And it declares the number, and there you go. So, and that's, you can try to say, well, it must be broken.
I mean, and here's the thing. It's like if you're in your car and the oil light comes on, using a hammer and smashing out the oil light makes it go away, right? No, it doesn't. Yeah. There's still a problem internally.
Right.
So
there you go.